I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Man City in full control take care of business against PSG, winning 2-0 on the night, 4-1 in aggregate, and for the first time since Pep Guardiola arrived in Manchester and Man City, they are in the Champions League final. A tremendous achievement. Man City in control. What's next for PSG? Jimmy Conrad, Champions League Tuesday recap begins right now. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Que Golazo, our Champions League Tuesday recap. And Jimmy Conrad, Manchester City, 2-0 against PSG on the night, 4-1 in aggregate, and Pep Guardiola and Man City finally in the Champions League final. Give me your reaction, sir.
Well, I'm going to start with a congratulations to Pep Guardiola for making the Champions League final for the first time in 10 years. That's a big achievement for him, especially without Messi, because he's never actually gotten there without Messi before. He's been to the Champions League final four times. They were all with Barcelona. He's won two of the four. So I like his odds. After seeing the performance today, I thought they were very good. You know what's funny, Luis, is that I tweeted out at halftime, my halftime analysis was the fact that the way they were set up was very Jose Mourinho-esque. They had everybody behind the ball. Everybody was working hard. The collective energy was there. Ruben Dias was a grown-ass man today, making blocks all over the place like he was Dikembe Mutombo. And they scored their one goal in the first half over with a long ball over the top by their goalkeeper. It doesn't get more Jose Mourinho, Route 1 football than that. So I thought that was quite humorous to see that Pep Guardiola is dabbling in the dark arts of defending to get to a final. I love to see it. Pep Guardiola is evolving, and now he's actually showing that he's capable of managing any style necessary to win a game. And that doesn't bode well for whoever they face in the final, because I'd like to think that Man City are the heavy favorites going into this one.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, we have talked over and over about Man City and Pep Guardiola. And to me, right now, after everything they've gone through all the years, this is the best I've seen Man City. They just look so good. And I guess
They're balanced.
They're just right? So balanced. And I just think defensively, they're so good. I think Ruben Dias is absolute. Guardiola calls him the perfect center back. I can't disagree with that. He's just so good. Zinchenko, Phil Foden, Paris born, Paris raised, Riyad Mahrez with three goals over the two-legged affair. They just look so good. And whenever PSG had the moment, the opportunity to enter the final third, you knew that they had literally half a second to do anything, because as soon as Man City, you know, said, oh, wake up, boom, they were so organized. They were so hard to penetrate. And it's just such a great squad to watch. And obviously that's why Guardiola is so happy. He's so comfortable because his entire team is just like, yeah, we got you. Don't worry about it. I mean, they're so good.
One of the fun facts about Man City is that they're one goal away, Kevin De Bruyne scoring it, from having seven different goal scorers with more than 10 goals this season. That's ridiculous. The next best Premier League team, because that's the only team I know the stat for, only has four goal scorers that have 10 plus goals. So it just really speaks to how effective they are in so many different ways and how they can beat you in so many different ways. And to your point, I think for the first time in a long time, let's say for Pep Guardiola, his defending is just as good as his attacking. And he couldn't say that in previous iterations of Manchester City. And now he's finally got it. They spent a lot of money to get to that point. They had to, you know, they signed a lot of guys that didn't work. And now they finally found that perfect mix. And I wonder if they go on to win the Champions League, and they obviously are assured to win the Premier League at this point, will he compare this? I'm just kind of curious as to how he compares this team to maybe one of his best at Barcelona. I would love to have that conversation with him once it's all said and done. Obviously, they still got 90 minutes to go before they get there. But what a performance from them. With regard to PSG, Luis, I thought that they had some opportunities. They did a really good job of getting in behind Fernandinho and running at that back line. And what Man City do very, very well is they all pinch in and they force you to go wide and then try to whip something in. when I look at Mauro Icardi, who started in place of Kylian Mbappe, which obviously was a big, big loss for PSG, I'm not sure that Mauro Icardi had a touch in the attacking third in his 60 minutes on the field. I saw him hold up the ball a few times in midfield. I don't know if he did. And I just feel like PSG were missing somebody dynamic to kind of run those little, you know, those essentially Kylian Mbappe type runs to pull a center back out of the space a little bit because they're going to have to track him.
Or Edinson Cavani.
Yeah, or him. Yeah, I mean, they just need, exactly. Well, they had some pieces in place before, and unfortunately it hasn't worked out for them. There's such a big conversation to have about PSG, but I did want to celebrate Man City first.
Yeah, I think that's really where rightly we begin with Pep Guardiola and Manchester City. To your point, a very well-balanced team. I didn't see anything from these two matches that showed me that PSG were going to do it. That's what we all predicted, that Man City were going to go through. I thought it was going to be 1-0. So they drew thinking that maybe PSG were going to give you, like you said, somebody at least to hold the ball up front, maybe capital. And to be honest, in the first half, you know, they hit the crossbar. You know, there were some moments, but as the game went on, again, Guardiola figured it out. Ruben Dias figured it out. I thought Fernandinho was great. Sinchenko is an absolute gem. Like, they're so good. There's nothing wrong to say about them. And if you are a Man United fan, you know, you're angry because Man City is just so
well
good.
So let's see Man United win the Europa League. Then these two will face off, assuming City and they both win, right? They'll face off in the UEFA Super Cup. So that'll start off next season with a lot of fireworks. And that'll be a lot of fun. But we'll get there when we get there. With regard to Man City, they're just so, so good. And not only... I think when you said that Pep Guardiola considers Ruben Dias like the perfect center back, I'm not even sure it's about his skills. I think it's more about his attitude and his desire and his toughness, right? We see some grit with him. And I think they've been lacking that a little bit, where maybe they got guys that were a little soft but could pass really well. And if you can pass really well, then you know, that you'll obviously fit in a Pep Guardiola system, but you got to have that toughness. And so if I may, I would like to liken Ruben Dias to Carlos Puyol in some ways.
That's not a bad assessment. Yeah.
Who is tough first and is gritty first and is a leader first. And then you start to think about, oh, he's actually a decent passer of the ball. I mean, I never see Ruben Dias like hit a 60-yard ball. I'm like, God damn, what a pass. Like, I don't, that's not his game. His game is to be a leader, to be tough to play against. And one of my favorite plays of the whole game was when Neymar did have a chance. He finally got in and was running at that back line, and they were scrambling, right? John Stones is scrambling. Diaz is scrambling. Everybody's trying to get back in the play, and then Zinchenko blocks it. Neymar should have hit that a lot sooner, but he didn't. It gets blocked, and they're celebrating like it was a goal because they're starting to take that type of pride in their defending. And when you have a team like that that's playing that way and thinking that way, that's only a sign of success, and they're the heavy favorites for me. I know Chelsea could come in, and yeah, they beat them in the FA Cup semifinals. This City team's going to be a different sauce, different gravy come the Champions League final.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so many ways you could go about this. Phil Foden is a starter for England at this point to me. He's just so good. And I think everybody deserves a mention. All right, well, let's move on to PSG for a second. What happens now? Because Neymar was meant to announce his new contract with PSG. Then the Super League news came, so they had to hold that. There was maybe a hint that it could happen before this second leg. Obviously, that didn't happen. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Obviously, we have Fabrizio Romano and Jonathan Johnson know everything about this, but I'm just wondering about what he's thinking, just his overall future. He's 29 years old. He's not getting any younger. Obviously, the market, the financial, economical market's not going to help anything. But also, more alarmingly, perhaps, Kylian Mbappe, who didn't feature today, obviously, because of injuries. But what is he thinking? Because he hasn't put anything on paper yet. Again, the economical market may... play the major role here, but what are those players thinking, Jimmy Conrad? What's the overall thinking here?
I would say frustration first and foremost. I think if I'm Neymar, he's going to take a lot of heat. I do think he was trying to do too much today. I think he was taking that extra touch when maybe he didn't need to, maybe trying to walk in a goal as opposed to just shooting from distance. I mean, that guy's got so much talent, more in his pinky than I think you and I combined, Luis. Well, maybe no. I've actually seen you. You're an incredibly talented guy. More than me, for sure.
No. But it's okay. You can include me in that. It's absolutely.
But even Di Maria, I thought every time he got himself in a good spot in the attacking third, he just either held on to the ball too long or he made the wrong decision. Like, he passed it to somebody that was maybe under pressure as opposed to the person that was wide open or more wide open than the other person. they just lacked a little bit of that decisiveness. And I don't know if that's because Icardi was in and he's just not as mobile as Kylian Mbappe, or they just didn't really look for Icardi at all. I mean, he was a passenger. He just had the best ticket to a Champions League semifinal I think a fan could ever have.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I'm Neymar and I'm watching the game, and I'm sitting there and I'm watching my team try to play out of situations or even defend, I'm probably thinking to myself, my team's not good enough.
Yeah.
They're just not good enough. The depth isn't good enough. And he's got a lot of very good players, but not great ones. And that's going to be the big challenge, I think, for PSG is how do we figure out those pieces? They don't always, let me say it like this. You can have a lot of very good players that turn into a great collective. But right now, they've got a couple great players and some very good players, but it doesn't feel like they're all getting the best out of each other. And that's a shame because they're so close. They took down Barcelona along the way. They took down Bayern Munich, even though if Robert Lewandowski was playing, they probably wouldn't have taken down Bayern Munich. They're close, but they've been a nearly team for ever since Neymar's gotten there. They're nearly good enough to compete with these guys. They're nearly good enough, and they never do. And again, there's three certainties in life. I have a lot of certainties in life, but there's three here: death, taxes, and PSG losing their minds for about 15 minutes in every single Champions League game.
Well, especially under a Pochettino system. They're just like, yeah. You know, they're just totally going to. I think you mentioned a key word here with Man City. I think this word serves right for both teams: balance. Man City has balance everywhere. Everywhere. Whoever replaces whoever, it doesn't matter. They have it. PSG have like an A. Almost A plus on their day trio up front, and then a kind of a B minus, maybe a B midfield, and then at the back a very talented pairing in Marquinhos and Presnel Kimpembe, but they're not Ruben Dias, and they're not even John Stones. John Stones is playing very well, so you could see that there's a clear difference there. So I don't know, because all the chips were placed on Neymar and Mbappe, but you forgot about everything else that's behind you. And that's going to be the key. If you want to beat a Man City, you better be good everywhere. And now, of course, I didn't mention Keylor Navas, who's fantastic, but he didn't have a good two-legged affair. But it's not all down to him. It was just a balance of play, I think. And Man City, just when you have all the cards on the table, Man City's is better.
You know what's interesting? When I think through the game, and I write down little notes, and I'm sure you do too, because we're going to come on and talk about it. You don't want to forget any key moments. But I remember thinking after both Man City's goals, it was against the run of play. Like PSG were actually in control in those moments.
They were
controlling the tempo. And I think what's most disappointing, and I think we talked about it on HQ today, is that you need your goalkeepers to make timely saves. And throughout his career, Keylor Navas has been that guy. And he needed to make that save on the first one. Do I blame him for it? Absolutely not. I do not. It's not me assigning blame. It's me saying that would have been a great moment for your goalkeeper to make a big save because they needed him to make a big save in that. There are a lot of other breakdowns to that, but that would have been that moment where if Keylor Navas makes that save, it stays 0-0. Maybe that 0-0 extends into the half. PSG go into that halftime feeling pretty good that they can maybe get something out of that second half. And then the confidence and the mentality is different.
Yeah.
Once they gave up that first goal, you and I talked about it.
We did.
Not only in the pod, but also HQ. If City scores first, it's going to be really hard for PSG to get back into it.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, I remember in the first leg saying, you know, the moment that De Bruyne goal went in, and everybody was like, the PSG side were questioning what was going on there. You could see that their confidence was literally left their soul and just went to Man City. And the game from that moment completely changed. And to your point about today, whoever scored that first goal was going to be crucial. And it just so happened that it was Man City. And then it was just over after that because they're just fully in control and there's nothing more to say. And you mentioned that they're your favorites in the final, regardless of the Real Madrid-Chelsea outcome. It's hard to bet against that when you're this good, when you're this strong. And I'm with you. I know Chelsea did very well in the FA Cup, but this is a different kettle of fish, I think. And I think Guardiola, now that he's seen what Tuchel has, then Guardiola is going to be, okay, I'm going to alter and I'm going to try and figure it out. And it's just going to be very difficult to bet against them. They're the complete package.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. I think Chelsea will get to the final and we discussed it already.
Well, wouldn't that be something? Because yeah, then you'd have a Premier League final once again since 2019. And then God knows what happens in the Europa League. Could we start for Manchester United? It's going to be interesting.
If it's Chelsea City, I'm getting ahead of myself, but if it is Chelsea City, whoever scores first, I think we'll probably win that game.
Because they're controlling.
They're just so good. Yeah, they're just so good at locking it down once they get the lead. And then there's another one. But we'll get into that another time. But
Real Madrid City could be an interesting one.
I would love that. Listen, I'll say this. The only Champions League final I've been in my whole life, and I was so excited to be there, was Liverpool-Tottenham. Just because Liverpool, obviously, a lot of history in the competition and so close to winning the Premier League that season.
You can say it was boring.
Oh my God, it was beyond boring. It was awful. It was the worst 90 minutes. And I had the opportunity to sit next to Luca Toni of all people. The last time I saw him was when I played against him in the 2006 World Cup. So that was super random. So it was all these like little things outside of the game itself, but those 90 minutes were awful it sucked. And so I worry because
when I saw the FA Cup game, I tweeted, I said, please don't let this be the Champions League final. Exactly. I'm very scared if it is.
I like when two teams from other countries play against each other.
I just think
the stakes are a little different, feel different, as opposed to somebody you're going to see three or four times throughout the season.
I agree. Well, and now a few days later from now, Man City can call themselves Premier League champions maybe as well. I mean, that's just going to happen at some point. So that would be quite amazing. So Champions League final, they're already a League Cup winner, and then Premier League as well. So
they're going to be able to get to rest their players too. They win the Premier League and now they can, and they're already got everybody healthy anyway. So I think that's going to give City a big advantage, because whether it's Chelsea or Real Madrid, both are in a battle either for the top four or to win La Liga.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Great job, by the way, on the Ander Herrera booking. That was just money in your pocket.
I nailed that one, everybody. I also had Phil Foden over one shot on target, and he got two, and he hit a post. I mean, I was really feeling it. I knew that he would get some looks, and he did. And so thank you,
Phil Foden. Is why you got to listen to Kego Lasso, because
I missed the final result. I got 2 out of 3. I'm sorry, everybody. I got 3 out of 3 on my Europa League ones, and then 2 out of 3 today.
But every now and again, you're going to get hits, because you get your hits most of the time. And then every now and again, I'll put a rabbit out of the hat with the PSG Bayern Munich game. So you've got to listen to Kego Lasso. If you want money,
you do.
Honestly.
We give you good things to consider. There's a lot of wagering people out there, but we're biased.
Shame on you if you don't listen. And it's free. But anyway,
free.
Jimmy Conrad, final thoughts before we say goodbye.
No, that was a fantastic game. I'm curious to see what happens with both teams throughout the rest of the season, because obviously PSG is still competing for Liga, and also what happens with both teams during the summer. It's going to be a very interesting next few months.
Yeah, and make sure you keep listening, because we have the Wednesday Champions League preview as well, and so much more to come. Jimmy Conrad, thank you so much, brother.
Thank you, Luis.
Hey, everybody. I want to thank Jimmy Conrad for joining me today. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Kego Lasso Pod. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, youtube.com/Kego Lasso, CBSSports.com. We're on your CBS Sports app as well. Have a great, great rest of your day.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.